Beautiful day today. The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. We have a wonderful, wonderful God. And He has made provision for all of our needs. He has provided all that we need. And it was a great lesson. Our Sabbath school lesson was a great lesson today. It showed us our need of reassurance from God, because there are a lot of things that are coming on the world that frighten us. People are afraid, but God says, "Fear not." Our text was from Genesis chapter 5, if you'd go there. And I brought attention in this particular passage of Scripture to the story of Enoch. And chapter 5, verse 21 says, "Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And after he begat Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. And begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not. For God took him." Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're waiting for you to come. We're waiting for Jesus to appear. We're waiting for the climax of the ages and for the whole thing to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We're in anticipation of your soon return. We ask, Lord, that you would somehow grip our souls that we might walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So fascinating, the life of Enoch. And Enoch speaks to us because what he had was a walk with God like no other person in the whole entire Bible. He walked with God, and something happened in his life that locked him in to step with God, and gave him a sense of expectancy, of anticipation, that sustained him for 300 years. And talking about the Sabbath school lesson, if we would take the anxieties and the fears that come our way and push them out with an anticipation and an expectation of the marvelous things that God is about to do upon this earth, we would have no time for worry or no time for fear. Let me tell you some things about Enoch. These are interesting little amazing facts. Adam lived 130 years and he had Seth. And Seth lived 105 years and had Enos. And Enos lived 90 years and had Canaan. And Canaan lived 70 years and had Mahalalel, and he lived 65 years and had Jared, and Jared lived 162 years, and there was Enoch. And Enoch lived 65 years, and something immense happened in his life. He had a vision. He saw something. He had a spectacular encounter with God, so spectacular that when that little boy was born, it spoke of the future. The name Methuselah says, when he dies, it will come. He was told by the Lord that one day the flood would come upon the earth, and that when your son that is being born right now, when he is born, when he dies, it will come. So Enoch said, all right, his name is Methuselah. And from age 65 until he walked out of this world, he walked with God. It's interesting to note that when Methuselah died, Lamech, his son, was 777 years old. And he died too. Now, seven in the Bible means completion, not perfection. It means completion. And Lamech's total number of years was 777. That's it. That was the space of time. And Methuselah died and the flood came. Do you know when Enoch was translated, Noah was 3 years old? Do you know that when Adam lived, right up to the time of Lamech, Noah's father? Oh, yes. Lamech knew Adam for 63 years. You see, the Bible says that Noah was perfect in his generations. That family, right down to Noah, was a tight-knit, close family because the world was wicked and getting more wicked every day. And it progressed until the time when finally God said to Noah, I'm going to give you another 120 years and that's it. You got 120 years to get this boat finished and then it's over. And so, here is Enoch. What motivated Enoch? Well, he had Adam to talk to. And he had his other great-grandfathers, Seth, Enos, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared. He had all those patriarchs of the family to talk to. He personally knew Adam. And Adam told him the story of the fall. And Adam told him that God had promised a deliverer from the line, from the holy line, from his line, that one day there would crush the head of the serpent. One of his descendants would crush the head of the serpent. And things would be restored and they would be brought back. But Enoch saw something else. He walked with God, he talked with God, and yet he functioned as everybody else does. Like everybody, he had a job, he did everything. Let me read some things here about Enoch that you may not have known. Enoch, it is written that he lived 65 years and begat a son. And after that, he walked with God 300 years. During these earlier years, Enoch had loved and feared God and had kept his commandments. Excuse me. He was one of the holy line, the preservers of the true faith and the progenitors of the promised seed. From the lips of Adam, he had learned the dark story of the fall, the cheering one of God's grace as seen in the promise, and he relied upon the Redeemer to come. Enoch saw way off into the future. God and him had many long walks and talks. And if we go to the book of Jude, on one of his walks with God, go to the book of Jude and read what Enoch saw on one of these walks. Book of Jude is just before the book of Revelation, and it's a little book, but listen what it says. Now Enoch, verse 14, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, so Adam was his great-grandfather seven times removed, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. This was Enoch. Enoch saw the end of the world before even there was a Moses, before the Ten Commandments were written in stone. before the children of Israel, before Abraham. Enoch walked with God. Day by day he walked with him, and day by day he anticipated God was going to do something miraculous, and he always looked for it, and he had the attitude that something is coming. And when his son was born, he said, when he dies, then it will come. He saw the flood. And if he saw as far down as to when Jesus comes back again with 10,000s of the saints, I can think that for 300 years, God was giving him a prophecy lesson. He was showing him world, what we call world history now. He was seeing as a prophecy. And Enoch was a prophet. And what his life meant was that you can walk with God in anticipation of the things to come. Therefore, how could you have any anxiety, any fear, knowing what God is about to do upon this earth? Jesus is coming soon, and we need to be ready, and we need to be warning the people that soon this old world is going to be done away with. It's going to burn up, and all the works on it, and all the wicked, and all the nastiness that's going on, and all the darkness will be done away with. Jesus is coming, and he's going to come, and he is going to change it all. And what the church has the same ministry today. We go directly back to Adam, because through Abraham, through Jesus, we are directly connected with Enoch. And the message has not changed. He's coming. He's going to bruise the head of that serpent. He's going to do away with sin and sinners and the instigator of sin forever. And we need to be ready. Yes, we do. We need to be ready, and there's only one way to do it. Walk with God. Each of us must personally get to know God in an intimate way. And what more can God do? He's furnished everything you need. He has provided the Bible, the instruction book, how to do, how to live, how to behave yourself, the message to talk to people and tell people about. He's given us this tool. He's given us the Holy Spirit so that we can walk with him. He says, I'm going to go away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to come, and I'm going to live with you, and I'm going to bring my Father with me in the person of the Holy Spirit. So each of us that has the Holy Spirit has the Father and the Son living in them, and we have a walk with God the same as Enoch. We can have the same experience of Enoch if we want it. It's up to you. You can be anxious. You can be fearful if you want to be. Or you can have hope and anticipation and think every day, Jesus may come back today. But if he doesn't, then I have somebody to reach. I have something to do. I have things to do. I have people to meet. I got to do this. I got to work in my job. I've got to show Christ wherever I go. Because each one of us is an ambassador for Christ. Jesus is coming, and we need to be ready. Amen. We need to have a walk with him so close that he could translate us at any moment. And that's what he's going to do to the church, you know. It said, when he comes, the trump of God will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet him in the air, and so shall we always be with the Lord. This is a promise to us. What happened to Enoch may happen to you and I. I'm looking for it to happen. This is the most exciting time in the world's history to be alive. You may think it's dull. You may think, oh, our life is nothing. But our life is all we have. This is it, folks. Today is the day of salvation. It's not tomorrow. Don't worry about yesterday. How is it with your soul today? Are you right with God, and are you serving the one and only true God? Ask yourself, you need to get right with God. We need to repent. We need to get down on our face and ask God to forgive us of our slackness, of our being asleep when we should be awake, trimming our lamps. For behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And go to the hedges and go to the highways and compel them to come into God's house and say, look, you need to hear this. You need to get ready to meet God. You need to be ready for Jesus to come. Are you ready? When I was reading these genealogies, and I was looking at the fact that Enoch knew Adam, Noah is the only one in the whole list that didn't know Adam. And Adam had only been dead for 119 years when Noah came along. Isn't that interesting? But all these patriarchs, you know, when the flood came, there was a lot of funerals just before then. Noah lost his father and his grandfather the same year. And he must have lost a lot of other things too, because it was only him and his wife and his sons and their wives, and that's it. So there must have been a lot of death in that last year. I don't hear of his father or his mother or his grandmother or anybody else coming but him and his wife, his three boys, and their wives. What an end to a long, long period of time. He built that ark and away they went. But he was prepared because he heard his father talk about it and he heard his grandfather talk about it. It was passed down from generation to generation to generation. We've heard this message for generations now. It's been passed down to us and it's been given to us. Our church came on prophecy, was born in prophecy. And still exists in prophecy. The spirit of prophecy carries us. We are looking at the coming of the Lord. Our church says Seventh-day Adventists. We believe that we have to have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And we need to keep the commandments. And we need to walk close to God because Jesus is coming soon. That's our message. The other churches have got to hear this. They're not going to hear it while we're all huddled in here all by ourselves talking to ourselves. We need to be witnesses wherever we work, whatever we do. You know that Enoch lived like an ordinary human being, except he walked with God. And what a difference it made in his life. We can live and look like ordinary human people, but we have a secret that should be no secret. We can walk with God, and it should change us from the inside out. Transform us. As we walk with Him, we should be coming shining brighter and brighter. The light needs to go on. The lamp needs to burn. People need to see the light. Instead of it being turned off, we need to be turned on. We do not hide this under a bushel. We put it on the top of a hill where it can be seen of man. We have the message for the day. Have you got it? Is it burning in your soul? You know, Jeremiah said to himself, he said, I'm going to be quiet about this. I've gotten myself in a lot of trouble. I'm just going to shut up. I can't take any more. They've just been driving me crazy. I'm going to shut up. But he says it was like fire shut up in my bones. And he had to speak. And I have to tell people about Jesus. And you have to tell people about Jesus. This is the only hope for a dying world. What is the cure for fear and anxiety? Replace it with anticipation. You know, the expectancy. Today could be the day. You know, when I come to church every week, I'm excited about coming to church because I do not know what will happen. But I know I serve a God that is a miracle-working God. Some people that are sick may be healed today. Some people that are lost may become children of God. They may be born again. I may see that happen. We may see a full church. We may see children. We may see this place just packed. Now, I haven't seen it, but I'm still looking for it. And the only way that's going to happen is if we invite people to come. Have you invited anybody to church lately? Think about it. If everybody brought somebody, that'd be twice as many people as there are today. Huh? It can happen because all it takes is a spark to start a fire. All it takes is the flip of the switch for the lights to go on. Flip the switch, folks, because it's up to us. It's up to us to turn ourselves on or off, to let the Holy Spirit in or to keep Him out. If you want a double portion of the Holy Spirit, open up. Let Him come in. Get rid of the sin in your life. Get rid of the doubts. Get rid of the fears. How do you do that? Pray and ask God to forgive you and show you and reveal to you. Oh, this is scary stuff, folks. He might actually show you something that's wrong in your life that you may have to change. And that's why people stay away. That's why people don't pray. They don't want to know. They're afraid that their pet little sin will be exposed. People will find out that they're phony, that they've been hiding something all these years. You've got to get it out of your life so He can come and replace it with His Spirit, so He can walk with you and talk with you and teach you and show you things to come so that you can help others. I'm not perfect and I'm not anywhere near it, but I'll tell you something, He's working hard on me. I'm undergoing a renovation here. God is cutting this off and changing that and making me do things that I never wanted to do, never wanted to be involved in, and I'm doing them because He said, this is what I want you to do. It hurts sometimes to be obedient, but it, in the long run, it's going to be the best thing for you because you're going to begin to bear fruit. Shirley asked me today, she said, what do you think of children's ministry? I said, I want it. I want to see a school. I want to see senior citizens' housing. I want to see this church come alive and begin to do things in this community that's never done before. I want to see people that don't have, you know, children that would like to have children to adopt children. I would like to see children come into this church and be nurtured and be. I'd like to see new people come in, new families. I want to see it, but I won't see it if it's only in my head and I don't do anything about it. You know, there's a lot of wishboning going on. But we need to have a backbone instead of a wishbone. And the only way things are going to get done is we got to do it. Roll up your sleeve and do it. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. You do it. You get a great inspirational idea, don't tell me about it. Do it. Because that's what happens. We get a wonderful idea, we pass it on to somebody else, and that's the end of it. Doesn't get done. You know, Enoch walked with God for 300 years. Do you understand how long 300 years is? Some of us, I'm approaching 60 very quickly. And I felt like I've been around a long time. 300 years of walking with God, I haven't even started yet. We haven't even begun to tap what God wants to do in this village, in this town, in this church, in this people. We haven't even begun to tap it. Flip the switch, turn the light on. Let's have it. Let's get the attitude of anticipation. What's God going to do next in your life? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we anticipate You're about to do something wonderful with this people. We anticipate miracles, signs, and wonders, and an inflow of people. Curiosity, wondering what's going on over in this church. But it's got to go on in each one of our hearts first. Turn on that light, Lord. Light us aflame. Fill us with Your Spirit. Reveal our sins to us that we might repent of them, get them out of our lives, and open the way for You to move. Father, have Your way with this people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.